From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The UK-based media outlet Channel 4 News has just published bombshell reports about the 2016 Trump campaign's micro-targeting of voters, having obtained a copy of the massive database of US voters that the Trump campaign used. The journalists determined that the Trump campaign had disproportionately marked Black voters for deterrence, which means they would be targeted with ads trying to convince them to stay home. A total of 3.5 million Black voters were in the database. Additionally, another report revealed that white voters were targeted with get out the vote messages, and that these voters are once more being targeted in 2020, this time with hot button issues around law and order. We speak with Krishnan Gurumurthy, who is a newscaster with Channel 4 News and also host of the podcast Ways to Change the World. Welcome to the program, Krishnan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's first talk about the issue around Black voters. We know that the Trump campaign worked with Cambridge Analytica, this now defunct company that essentially sold its services to folks like the Trump people and also in Britain to the Brexit campaigners to help them micro-target people using social media. Tell me about the database that Channel 4 News obtained.
This is an enormous cache of data. It's one of the biggest data leaks ever. It's around 5 terabytes or just under that of information. And what it is information on nearly 200 million American voters. And they were categorized and analyzed according to their interests, their political leanings, the issues that they cared about most, all sorts of data that helped them analyze and categorize people into 8 different groups. And one of them, as you say, was this deterrence category, which was disproportionately Black, had more than 3.5 million Black voters in it. And so what they were able to do with that data is then put that into social media like Facebook and target people with the kinds of messages that you might remember from 2016, which were designed to turn Black voters in particular off Hillary Clinton. So it reminded them about her age-old comments about young Black men being super predators with no conscience, portrayed her as somebody who wanted to incarcerate Black men en masse, said that Michelle Obama was somebody who didn't think Hillary Clinton would be able to run the White House, and all those sorts of messages which were designed to say to people, Hillary Clinton isn't on your side the way Barack Obama was, and to turn them off voting.
So what did you find out about whether the Trump campaign actually used this information? You spoke with Brad Parscale, a former Trump campaign manager, who, you know, in fact, let's play the video of what it was that he said to you when asked.
Let me just correct that. We didn't speak to Brad Parscale ourselves. He wouldn't do an interview with us. But this is an interview from PBS television that was done historically.
We didn't run any kind of suppression and or campaigns in any way that ran to, I don't think we didn't run not a campaign, I believe. I would say I'm nearly 100% sure we did not run any campaigns that targeted even African Americans.
And that is Brad Parscale saying he thinks he's 100% sure that they didn't run any campaigns that targeted African-American voters. And of course, Parscale is in the news now for having had some sort of nervous or mental health breakdown and was tackled by police. And he's also caught in a separate story around potential money laundering with the Trump inauguration group. So he said to PBS that they never ran such a campaign. How do you know that this information in this database around Black voters was actually deployed? They may have had it. Do we know they used it?
Well, no, you have to sort of try and put the pieces together in this jigsaw. The story that we've run is that if you look at the database, this is how they categorized people. So that tells you their intent. Their intention was to deter people. If you then look at what the campaign and its supporters actually did in 2016, they ran these ads that were targeted within the Facebook system. Now, it's possible that these two things are entirely unrelated and coincidental, but we think that's very unlikely. And the fact that, as you say, you know, Brad Parscale denied, you know, the idea that they ran the Hillary Clinton campaigns at all, shows that, you know, that interview is not entirely reliable, because we know that they did. Those ads ran on Facebook without doubt and were seen by people in the Black community. So, you know, it is difficult to say whether people actually responded to this particular message, whether this campaign was the reason they didn't turn out. But what we know is that the Trump campaign wanted to deter them from voting. It and its supporters ran digital advertising aimed at discouraging people from voting, and voter turnout in the Black community fell sharply in 2016. And in a state like Wisconsin, where the Trump campaign won by just 23,000 votes, that was a similar kind of fall in turnout to the Black vote in that area.
Tell me a little bit more about Cambridge Analytica for those who sort of missed that story 4 years ago. This was the same company that helped eke out a narrow win for the Brexit campaign in Britain. It is no longer around, but it was linked to one-time White House advisor of Trump, Steve Bannon.
Yes, Cambridge Analytica was a very sophisticated data and political consultancy company that used to offer its services to politicians and commercial entities in terms of analyzing data and running campaigns around it. Channel 4 News was one of the news organizations involved in exposing the leak of Facebook, or the use of Facebook data. And then it was our undercover expose that really led to the implosion of the company. You may remember the video of an undercover reporter posing as a possible client from Asia, seeking the services of Cambridge Analytica, and the Cambridge Analytica bosses boasting about the kinds of campaigns they had run before. As soon as that material hit the airwaves and showed very underhand and very ethically questionable techniques, the company imploded, and the boss, Alexander Nix, was suspended and is no longer able to hold that same kind of position. But so, Cambridge Analytica was a key client. The Trump campaign was a key client of Cambridge Analytica, which, as you say, Steve Bannon held a key position in that company. And they were instrumental in putting together this database together with the Republican National Committee. This is a sort of an amalgamation of various bits of data that probably goes back, you know, right into sort of previous the sort of the Republican candidate selection process. So it's a very sophisticated thing, and it's got a huge amount of data points in it.
Now, it was already known that Cambridge Analytica worked with the Trump campaign. It was already known that the Trump campaign, using, you know, Cambridge Analytica's advice, likely micro-targeted its voters through Facebook. But it was is what's new the extent to which Black voters in particular were essentially, you know, convinced or attempted to be convinced to stay home on Election Day?
People who've been following big data have long suspected that this is what's happening. And there have been accounts and allegations made by various people along these lines. What we have done is shown in hard data that this is what they were doing. We've now got the evidence that this is how they segmented people, this is how they analyzed people, and this is how they categorized people into one big bucket, if you like, of voters who they wanted to deter. And what I did was then take that list of voters, match it with the voter roll in Wisconsin, and tick off the people on that database according to whether they had voted or not. Mm-hmm. What we were then able to do is then go and knock on their doors,
right,
and say, "Hi there, how are you doing? We got your name from a Republican database. Could we talk to you about it?" And people were really shocked that their names were on this database and that they were in a category and had been targeted for deterrence, and were really quite upset about it.
Did you talk to people who didn't vote in 2016 who had voted in 2012?
That was the category of people we were targeting ourselves when we were knocking on those doors. So everybody who we spoke to was in this category of people who had been politically active and had voted for Barack Obama in 2012, but then in 2016 did not turn out for Hillary Clinton. Precisely the group of people that were being targeted in the database.
And were they shocked at how you knew who they were and knew things about them? And what sorts of things did you know about them through this database?
They were very shocked, and a lot of them were very upset because they felt they had been categorized and judged by people far away who didn't really know anything about them, had never met them, and didn't know anything about their lives. The kinds of information was not just which category they were in. There were personality scores. So there were rankings for whether people were optimists or leaders. There were issue scores for which issues that they were most concerned about. Were they most concerned about taxes or education or healthcare, that kind of thing, and the order in which those issues were ranked. But it went much, much further than that. If you look at a full data file, it will have everything from your banking details and income to your interests to your commercial activity to the charities you may give money to, your likelihood of owning a pet, having a baby, going on holiday, going to theme parks. You know, it is an astonishing detailed level of data that we're talking about. I don't know whether you recall David Carroll, who was one of the stars of The Great Hack, the movie on Netflix, which was all about his battle to get his Cambridge Analytica data. He fought for 4 years to get his data. He went through the British courts, won the legal case, but then was still denied his data because Cambridge Analytica went bust. We were able to dig out his file from this database, and I drove to David Carroll's home in Connecticut and handed him the file that he had been trying to get his hands on for 4 days, and he was pretty astonished.
And this is, of course, information that is harvested through, you know, corporate surveillance. I know a lot of people worry about government surveillance, but corporate surveillance, every click on every shopping site that you might make on your web browser. Now, the Channel 4 News also published a report about how white voters were targeted. So while black voters were targeted for deterrence, I understand white voters were targeted with get out the vote messaging.
Well, there were eight categories of voter in 16 battleground states. You had core Clinton, core Trump. You had disengaged Clinton and disengaged Trump. You had people who they regarded charmingly as deadbeats, people who they just didn't think would vote no matter what, people who were in the persuasion category, who could go either way, but who could be targeted and tried to reach. And then you had this other two categories of get out the vote for Trump, who were people who could be encouraged to go and vote for Trump, and the deterrence category, which was the equivalent on the other side, who were leaning towards Hillary Clinton, but maybe deterred from taking part in the election at all. So the next group of people that we looked at after the deterrence category was the persuasion category. And we found that this group of people was overwhelmingly white in the Wisconsin area that we were particularly targeting. Again, disproportionately so. And we again took those data files, went to those addresses, knocked on people's doors, and talked to them about the kind of ads that they are seeing in this election. Now,
and you talked to a white couple and you told them things about themselves that turned out to be fairly true, just even like personality traits.
Exactly. And they were a really interesting couple, actually, because he was a Democrat and she was a Republican. But she was precisely the kind of, and she was on the Republican database as persuadable. And they had all sorts of little data points about her that I was able to read out and say, well, they've got you down as an optimist, Holly. And she said, yep, that would be correct. And the issues that she was most concerned about, she was shocked and really quite horrified by the extent of the data they had. But what was also really interesting was that she had seen in her Facebook feed a lot of the advertising that is being pumped out at the moment. You can see it on television all the time as well, portraying a Biden America as one that would be plagued by riots, disorder, burning businesses, burning buildings.
So this is just in the past few months then. So it sounds as though the Trump campaign is deploying this database, or might be deploying this database, 4 years later?
That's what we were trying to examine the possibility of. I mean, this is the same database that they would have built on over the last 4 years. So the people are still there. And the likelihood is that they are targeting the messages according to the categories of people that they have had all along. And so, yes, we wanted to go and see if the current Trump message on law and order is going down well with the group of people who back in 2016 were regarded as open to persuasion. And it was a pretty impressive response. They are responding to it.
Wow. And of course, the Trump campaign knows that because of the US's deeply flawed electoral college system, all you need to win the presidency is convince just the right number of voters in just the right states to win those electoral college votes, which is what he did in 2016.
Precisely why this story is important, I think, because it helps to explain how you get these strange and confusing results in US elections where you can lose the popular vote by 3 million and yet win the electoral college because you've managed to swing the right states. And that's why a state like Wisconsin was so crucial in 2016, is again in 2020, because what this suggests, and it is only a suggestion, you know, it's not conclusive proof, but it suggests that if you can target just the right sorts of voters, then you can pull just enough people your way. And when we remember that Wisconsin was only won by 23,000 votes, small groups of people with particular concerns become very, very important. That's what micro-targeting is all about. So the big poll numbers that you see when they tell you, well, this is the headline figure for Biden v. Trump, doesn't really tell you what you really need to know in terms of how the election is moving. And that's where micro-targeting is important.
So the big part of the story is the fact that it takes advantage of the Electoral College system. The other big part is that it's Facebook that enables this. Facebook was excoriated 4 years ago for, you know, helping to polarize the electorate, for contributing to misinformation and you know, the current state of affairs. Mark Zuckerberg has been in congressional hearings. Is Facebook still allowing this kind of micro-targeting?
Well, there's nothing that's been banned about micro-targeting, but Facebook say that what happened 4 years ago couldn't happen today because they have changed and politics have changed. Now, they could mean a number of different things. For example, in 2016, one of the biggest features of political advertising was dark posts, dark ads. Now, these were ads that would appear in your feed, most likely as a result of data analysis, but then would disappear. You couldn't go back and find them. You can't search for them. Hmm. They don't appear on a register anywhere. Now, that isn't happening anymore. And Facebook have now got an ad register where you can see the ads that are going on Facebook. And they say that they have hired a huge number of people to try and keep Facebook fair. But I have to say there's a huge amount of skepticism amongst campaigners on the other side. Big data campaigners who fear that democracy is under threat through the use of Facebook and other platforms in this targeted way have told us they can't see any reason why Facebook can't be used in almost exactly the same way in 2020 as it was in 2016 and be used to hone in on those individual voters who the campaigns know can be crucial when it comes to swinging an individual state.
Now, we know that there are certain things that are illegal about how you can target people based on their demographics. For example, Facebook was under fire for, you know, offering only or exposing only certain kinds of job offers to only men and not women, et cetera. And so there's certain issues around employment discrimination that Facebook has gotten caught up in. But there are no laws in the US, as far as we know, that allows, I mean, of course, these many of our laws are out of date and weren't written for the digital era. But it doesn't appear very, let's just say, PR friendly to admit that one's campaign has been targeting voters based on their race, gender, etc. And the Trump campaign is vehemently denying it. The Washington Post's news coverage of your reports, of Channel 4 News' reports, says Cambridge Analytica database identified black voters as ripe for deterrence, British broadcaster says. And then it says, Trump campaign says it did not use the information in 2016, almost taking it seriously. And the American corporate media doesn't seem to be you know, taking this story very seriously. This ought to be front page news splashed across the headlines, but it's not.
Well, I mean, we are a British news organization. I think, you know, some organizations will have to distance themselves from the allegations and say, you know, these are claims by a British news organization, claims that have been dismissed by the Trump White House as fake news. I can assure you this is not fake news. You know, this is a massive database that we are in the process of going through. And when you look through the names and go knock on people's doors, these are real people with real names and addresses, real issues, real analysis that all tally up. And so this is a real database. So, you know, I'm not too worried about that. I think this is a slow burn. I think this is also a very big week in American politics. We've obviously had the New York Times leak on tax, which is dominating headlines. And it's an easy one to focus on because it's a much easier story to get your head around. And these kinds of data stories are very complex. You know, you need to think about them and perhaps read them over and over again before they really sink in terms of their enormity. But I think this is something that's going to take time for people to understand. They are doing it. They are taking it seriously. And I'm sure people will, you know, will appreciate the reporting on this. Our intention is not to influence any individual any one way. We're not a partisan news organization. We're not part of what's called here the liberal media or mainstream media in that sense. We are a regulated impartial broadcaster in the UK. Our pure motivation is to shed light on what's going on and to call power to account. And what we think is really important is to tell American voters that this is how modern campaigning is carried out. You should know that when you see adverts, they're there for a reason. They're not just random. You're probably being targeted by somebody, probably by both sides. But you know, in our case, we've got the Trump database from 2016. So that's what we're able to show you.
Right. And I think that's a big lesson from all of this for, you know, voters to really be aware of what they are shown on Facebook and understand where it might be coming from and maybe protect themselves from being swayed one way or another by Facebook ads. Krishnan, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to the reports from our website so people can watch them themselves.
Thank you very much.
My guest has been Krishnan Gurumurthy. He's a newscaster with Channel 4 News. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.